Hey, great. Now to be back with Taylor Ann Bradford, Gloucester Times journalist. I got Gloucester High School on the mind, I guess. Taylor, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. Rick, we're not the Gilnitter, but I want to say that the Gilnitter student newspaper over at the high school is very good and a great read as well. So,
hey,
it's the Gloucester Daily Times, but the Gloucester High School paper is pretty good as well.
That's great. No, you're not with the Gilnitter. I get that. But Gilnitter is a great training ground. Kim Trigilio does a fantastic job over there. And it's a great training ground for would-be journalists, for sure. Taylor Ann, you've got a lot of stuff that you've been covering, obviously, in the last couple of weeks. And I think you call it the forever story or something like that. The COVID-related stuff and the vaccine starting to get into people's arms.
Yeah, so the vaccine rollout kind of began a few weeks ago, and I know that it's been a big topic not only here in Gloucester, but nationally, as we talk about the process in which states and municipalities are going about distributing the vaccine. And our public health director here in Gloucester, Karen Carroll, spoke during Tuesday night city council meeting to kind of give an update as first responders are now getting them after nursing homes had received them a couple weeks ago. What she said is, they had their first clinic over at the Rose Baker Senior Center on Tuesday, and they distributed 100 vaccines, and she said it went perfectly. She had mentioned just how they didn't waste any vaccines. They had two cancellations, but were able to, due to a process that they had kind of put in place in case there were cancellations, able to find two other first responders to fill that role. But she also said, while things are going quite well, they're also taking it week by week, because the way she explained it is that the state will contact them week by week to give them more vaccines, so they're not getting a ton of vaccines and not being able to use it. I feel like, I don't know, in a couple different papers and a couple different places you hear about vaccines getting wasted or people, distributing vaccines to other people because they have extra. But it seems like here in Gloucester they have a pretty good, strict plan in place to make sure that they stick to the phases and that they don't waste any vaccines. Now, this is the Moderna vaccine that these first responders are getting from the Rose Baker Senior Center. I know the Pfizer vaccine is also being distributed in a couple other ways to other people, but I know the Moderna one is the one that we're seeing here in Rose Baker Senior Center.
Well, it kind of coincides with the mayor's announcement this week, Taylor Ann. I'm sure you're familiar with it, in that, things seem to be, I hate to use the word flattening the curve, but it seems to be that the virus coverage itself seems to be slowing down in the hospital, at least the Addison Gilbert and the Beverly Hospital, are not being overrun right now.
Right. They had made an announcement this week that, they said this was good. They said, we're at 80 to 90% capacity, which in my mind, pre-COVID, I think that is packed. At the height of COVID, when we weren't really sure what the virus was or how to handle it, these ICU units were being inundated with patients, and they just weren't able to keep up with the number of patients that were coming in with COVID or COVID-like symptoms. But they're saying now, they're starting to get a handle on it. And while Gloucester is in the red and, the amount of virus that's here in the city is pretty high, I think people have found not only a new normal to how to go about life during a pandemic, but how to handle the vaccine in a way that, I think gives us a peace of mind day by day, hour by hour, even when we have the fear of, do I potentially have the virus to the middle of the throat?
That's a good point. I talked with a nurse yesterday from Beverly Hospital, and she said that they've learned so much since March and how to treat this, and many COVID patients now, they're sort of able to determine who can go home and who needs to stay. And, there is that separation so that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed. And, man, I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed. Should we go on to the next item of business?
Yeah, let's go back to the schools. So as we've all been talking about, I think, for the past couple of years, is the question of what will be the swing space for the Veterans Memorial Elementary School students and teachers as the new combined school is being built over on Webster Street. Now, the city voted back in the elections this fall, early winter, to build a new combined elementary school that will combine East Gloucester and Veterans. But that obviously means building that new school on Veterans site means that those students will be displaced for a better half of 2 years. So they're needing to find a place, and the school committee just announced that they're looking at Pathways for Children and St. Anne's Catholic School, which are Two very interesting prospects, but a lot of variation, pros and cons for each one.
Can you list some of those? Because I know we went through this a couple years ago when the West Parish School was being built, and there was some mild controversy over the renting of the St. Anne School and so on. Plus, I think there was a space up at Blackburn Circle. This was before you came on board, and it just seems like we've been down this road before, maybe they could look back at the old plan and see what it was and just kind of reinstitute it, but I don't know what the heck's going on.
Right, yeah, so Pathways has offered a rent of $20,000 a month, but the Archdiocese of Boston has put the use of the St. Anne's facility at $19,000 a month. They said that any additional space would cost extra. And so that the school committee and their subcommittees are trying to look at, you know, what are the pros and cons, and, you know, they're kind of confined to a certain budget and confined to kind of what will be the most effective and most safe and conducive for learning for their students and teachers. And so while both have presented proposals and saying that they want to present their things, it seems like in their conversation on Tuesday morning that, you know, Pathways had a lot of drawbacks. It didn't have a ton of parking. They would be sharing the building with another organization, more students. They talked about bathrooms for quite a while, of just how the bathroom situation is. Two bathrooms, two stalls per bathroom. Didn't seem like it was quite enough for the amount of students that they would have. But they were really appreciative of Pathways, of just wanting to donate to lend their space, lease their space mm-hmm. to the community, and, you know, being able to do it in a place that is set up for learning. But, you know, they really pivoted back to 8 St. Anne's, right? That's where West Parish, that's where their swing space was when West Parish was being built. And so St. Anne's has seen the school district's children before, and they've also, that building has received updates from the city for swing space. So when they had that swing space prior, they had put in a ton of money to make it accessible and make it adaptable for learning. And so that building had seen that prior. And so, you know, it's centrally located for the veteran school. It's been adapted for school learning in the past, and they've used it. And so now they're just trying to wait and see from Doran Whittier, the architectural designers. They're doing an analysis of both buildings mm-hmm. and saying, okay, practically, what does this look like? So I think they're just waiting to hear back from there. But from the conversations that I was hearing, it seems like they're leaning in the way of St. Anne's, but I guess it's too soon to tell as they'll make their final decision or final recommendation to the mayor on January 27th. So it'll be pretty soon before we know. It seems like they're leaning in one way.
Okay. Certain. And that gives people plenty of time to get ready and to make the adjustment. That's good. And St. Mm-hmm. Anne's seems viable for sure, where they already used it and have poured money into it. We've talked a lot about noise in West Gloucester, and looks like there's more noise in West Gloucester.
Yeah, so, and this noise people are complaining about is gunshots, so not trains, a different type of noise. But there had been a discussion for quite a while, or maybe the lack of discussion is really what has been raising the noise levels of the community here in West Gloucester, is the West Gloucester Shooting Range, which is located behind Haskell Pond off of Forest Lane. People also know that as Red Rocks Conservation Area. It's a very common place for bikers and hikers. I know I run there a lot. You have the Mass Mutters. Everyone really likes to use that space, but there is a shooting range there, and it had been temporarily closed back in 2009 due to misuse and kind of other police agencies from other towns and cities kind of coming in and using it. And not being treated very well. And so it had been temporarily closed down, and in April, an ordinance had been changed and amended, to make it so that they could use that shooting range again. This specifically was changed because, the higher ups within the police department, state level, had said that every single police officer has to qualify at least twice a year on all the different, guns that the police department has. And so instead of driving to Fort Devens, which police commonly had indicated would cost, you know, upwards to $50,000 to cover the cost of traveling and overtime, they're trying to really localize it and find a place where they can do it here, save money, but also do effective training that will both protect the community and be effective for their officers. And so the frustration from community members was that there wasn't enough communication back in April when this Amendment was made. And so a petition was signed, and they brought it to a public hearing on Tuesday night. And it really was a platform in which community members were able to speak their mind and kind of articulate their frustrations and alternatives, because they acknowledged, you know, getting this training for police officers is vital and really important, but they don't want it in their backyard. They're saying property value is going down. There are lifelong residents who are saying that if this continues to happen in the shooting range, is implemented here over in the West Gloucester, that they will move. They'll move out of Gloucester just because it's that bad. Either it's PTSD or it's just not what they signed up for. Financially, it will lower the value of their homes. And, you know, people are really frustrated about that, frustrated about the lack of communication that they've received in the past. And so some of the points that we were seeing is, you know, safety, as the shooting range is lined up right in direct line of where people go hiking and biking, but also noting just, the property values going down and kind of the frustrations around that, and frustrations about this is not something that they had signed up for when they moved here. So Conley did come on and speak and kind of give note that this is you know, his promise to the community is that this will be just for the Gloucester Police Department. He's trying to limit who uses it, what it looks like, and really trying to keep it within the restrictions that the new ordinance says. But again, people were still pretty frustrated, and it looks like this conversation will continue on if councillors want to look to change the amendment anymore, or change the ordinance anymore that had already been changed to kind of appease the residents. They are going to reach out to the city clerk. So as of right now, the new ordinance stands, but people in West Gloucester are still pretty frustrated, and we'll see if we see any for sale signs coming up over there if the shooting range stays around.
Well, I find it interesting with so much woodland in Gloucester. I think there's something like 60 or 70% of Gloucester's geography is woodland. That we have two firing ranges, in residential districts. Of course, the West Gloucester the Gun Club, Cape Bend Gun Club over, off of Cherry Street, Cherry Street it is, you know, up in Dogtown is one. And boy, I'll tell you what, we were up there, last Sunday, I believe, and yeah, it's loud, but that, you know, the Gun Club's been there for 100 years. Excuse me. And there once was, an artillery battery of the 102nd Artillery of the National Guard in Gloucester. It's where the elderly housing is on Prospect Street. And we used to have to go to Wakefield to qualify. There's a firing range, or there was. I think it's called Camp Curtis Guild in Wakefield. And that was, you know, it's a 15-20 minute drive, but you could qualify on machine guns, on rifles, on pistols. I wonder if that thing is still viable, you know? I just thought of that.
Yeah.
I wonder. Anyway.
Yeah. Somebody had brought up a good point, is that I know in Lexington that they're trying to do an indoor and outdoor firing shooting range for their officers, because this isn't just a Gloucester problem. Because of the new change in the requirements for officers, departments all over the state are trying to find a way in which to get their men and women qualified without having to drive such a distance. But it seems as if that, you know, wouldn't be made accessible to Gloucester just because it's not in the area in which Gloucester kind of belongs to. But yeah, it's interesting, and I wonder how far is too far of a drive for Gloucester, because again, we don't want people. That's the big thing, is that, you know, they're going to have the shooting range here, but they don't want outsiders coming in. And so, you know, is that reciprocated in other communities? Is everyone just kind of want to stay to themselves when it comes to qualifying their officers?
So what do they call that? First world problems? It's, the things you have to think of. Now, speaking of thinking of things, we have the Gloucester Times. Of course, Taylor Ann Bradford writing daily in the Gloucester Times as a journalist. And she has a Friday column coming up, and also a very, very, I can't wait to read it, story about our local comfort animals. So why don't you talk about those things a little bit in what's coming up in the paper?
Yeah, so the weather has been great here in the city, and I've definitely been able to get outside and explore a little bit. So stay tuned for Friday. There will be a new trail column, and it'll be, I think, a lesser-known trail, but one that I'm very excited to share with the community. And again, practicing those LMT principles, maintaining safe distance with CDC guidelines, and just making sure that you're respecting the trail and others who walk it. Whenever you're on a trail, you know, you might, in addition to runners and hikers, you also might see some furry friends. And I have a great story coming to people either this week or next about the Community Impact Unit's newest member, Ace, the Golden Retriever.
All right.
So that is coming your guys' way, and check out the Gloucester Daily Times for more information.
Looking forward to it. And I want to end on this note. I've been looking for the West Gloucester Eagles, and I finally saw the one of the West Gloucester Eagles both Tuesday and Wednesday this week, flying right by my house and in the neighborhood near Linden Ave. Near Lindale Ave. I don't even know where I live anymore. So if you see any of these, if you see any eagles in your trips, Taylor Ann, you gotta let me know so that I can camp out around there.
Oh, that sounds great. So yeah, I hope you fly into the weekend and maybe you'll see more, birds along the way.
Alright, that's Taylor Ann Bradford, Gloucester, let me get this right, Gloucester Times journalist with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.